I'll only say this once. Do you think that you could lose yourself in me? I could say I want to die by your side one day. But I can never speak the words, because they haven't wrote the words that mean enough to me. So together we can burn this way, burn this way. Stop and say you love me. Always I'll say.
Do you see what I see? Written by Saving Faith 333. Read by An Angel's Light. What this is basically a little look at What If for four super slashy scenes from Lucifer Rising. They're not connected. Think of them as four little separate one-shots, rated NC-17 because of language and, you guessed it, porny goodness. Because let's face it, that episode was made of the sex. Castiel watches as Dean knocks the statue from the table with a pain in his heart. He's tried. More times than he can count, Castiel has tried to reach Dean, tried to make him understand, maybe even care for him. And he still has not managed to break through. Pound his way through the wall around Dean that bears the name Sam, the name Brother, the name Life. "You asked to see me?" he asks, his eyes drawn to the shattered porcelain on the floor. The broken pieces that say in Dean's deep voice that has always been like breath to him, that angels are dicks, as Dean's eyes fall guiltily on him. Guilty for being caught, not guilty for breaking, Castiel can't help but notice. "Yeah, I need something," Dean replies, and Castiel's heart soars briefly, uplifted in only the way Dean can manage. Every time he's able to do something for him, every time he's able to say yes, like an answered prayer warming Castiel's soul. "Anything you wish," Castiel says softly, and he means it. From the bottom of his heart, he means it. Realizing, more strongly than ever before, what he's willing to give for him. What he's willing to give up for little more than a smile from Dean Winchester's lips. "I need you to take me to see Sam." The words are simple, plain, barely emotional at all, and yet they cut Castiel like a sharp knife. It's the one thing he's not allowed to do. The one thing he would not want to do, even if he were allowed. Hating as he does all the things that Sam has put Dean through over these past months. His past life. All the times he had made Dean shed tears as he fell into one restless sleep after another. If he could allow anyone to go see Sam, it would not be Dean. He would not subject Dean to that. No, Castiel would go himself, would teach the boy to put his hands on Dean, to wrap his hands around Dean's neck in anything but love. Saving Dean's life and saving the world in the process, the two things link so strongly for Castiel that he can no longer tell the difference between them. What is the world, after all, without Dean Winchester? "Why?" he asks, because he cannot help himself. Cannot help but push this, even though he knows how it will end. With him saying no and Dean getting angry, the way it always does these days. "There's something I want to talk to him about." "What's that?" "The BM I took this morning. What's it to you? Just make it snappy." Dean is walking towards him now, moving into Castiel's personal space, and it sends a chill across his skin. Being close to Dean, being this close to Dean, is like dancing with fire to him, and yet he cannot back away. Can never back away. Because he needs this more than he will ever admit. "I don't think that's wise," Castiel says, another piece of truth spoken, as he finally allows his eyes to drift away from Dean's face, a pain gripping his chest like a vice as he does so. "Well, I didn't ask for your opinion," Dean replies, and he's now closer than before. Castiel is able to feel the heat emitting off of Dean's skin, amplified by his anger, his frustration, all directed at Castiel. And he cannot help but wonder when everything changed for him. When feeling Dean angry with him stopped being aggravating and started being intoxicating. "Have you forgotten the last time you met?" Castiel asked, images of Sam hitting Dean dancing across his mind. Hitting Dean, throwing him around, strangling him, and walking out. So much pain radiating off of Dean a few short hours ago as Castiel was forced to watch. One of the worst things about watching over Dean is the way he is forced to watch over Dean, witnessing so much pain and never being allowed to do anything about it. It's torture to him, not being able to reach out, to touch, to comfort. And it's no different this time around. Nothing seems to be different with Dean. "No," Dean replies, as if Castiel didn't already know. As if he wasn't aware of the fact that Dean will never forget what his brother did to him. "That's the whole point. Listen, I'm gonna do whatever you mooks want, okay? I just need to tie up this one thing. 5 minutes, that's all I need." He cannot take Dean to Sam. Castiel knew this when he entered the room, and yet he has stayed. Feeling so much that he's unsure how it is even possible to feel so many emotions raging inside one heart at the same time as he whispers the word no. His heart breaking for Dean all over again, because it's far harder than it should be to deny him. "What do you mean no?" Dean asks. Castiel able to feel the way Dean's eyes drag over his body at that, sizing him up, testing the water. "Are you saying that I'm trapped here?" "You can go wherever you want," Castiel replies, another one of those lies he's been forced to speak. "Super, I want to go see Sam." Sam, Sam, always Sam. "Except there. I want to take a walk." "Fine, I'll go with you." And Castiel's heart nearly stops with those words, with that idea, that image. A peaceful world with even a more peaceful sunset. Dean's hand claps tightly in his as they take in the serenity surrounding them together. It's a dream that Castiel has often had, and knows will never come to pass. "Alone," Dean is saying, and Castiel repeats himself, saying no again, this time with more force, because he's not sure how much more longer he'll be able to bear this. Keeping Dean here against his will, allowing the world, Dean's world, to end and doing nothing about it. "You know what? Screw this noise, I'm out of here," Dean says, the anger there, the anger always there. As he walks past Castiel, towards the door, the one that leads to nowhere, even though Dean doesn't know this yet. "Through what door?" he asks, and Dean turns to him. Spins around with confusion written across his beautiful face as Castiel makes the door disappear, sealing them off completely. When Dean turns around again and notices that the door is gone, Castiel can feel the air in the room crackle with electricity, with Dean's rage, and he knows that he should leave, that he should disappear like he was supposed to, leaving Dean to wallow in his own anger and misery alone. But he doesn't. For some reason he won't. He can't. He cannot bring himself to leave Dean like this. "Put it back," Dean says, as if that will change anything. As if Cass returning the fake door to the fake wall will somehow make things better. He says no again. Denies Dean for the third time this conversation. Everything in the room getting tight and hot as Dean storms back towards him. His soul practically on fire with the intensity burning off of him. "I said put it back," Dean repeats. And he's standing directly in front of Castiel now. His eyes bright, his body tense, as he twists his fist into Castiel's jacket and pulls him in till they're sharing breath. "And I said no," Castiel says forcefully, perhaps more forcefully than necessary, as he wraps his hands over Dean's wrist, unsure whether he's trying to push Dean off of him or pull him closer, unsure of whether that even matters anymore. "Cass, I need..." Dean begins, and Castiel knows what he's going to say. know that he's going to say that he needs to see his brother, that he needs Sam. And suddenly he cannot bear that anymore. Cannot bear to hear Dean talk about his ungrateful brother for another moment. Which is probably why he kisses Dean then, crushing their mouths together with as much force as he can manage, without killing Dean in the process, wanting nothing more than to cut his words off before they have a chance to find air. To cut off all thought of Sam Winchester, swallow it whole and replace it with something else. Replace it with himself. The word mind screaming erratically, irrationally through his mind as he claims Dean's lips for his own. Dean struggling slightly at first, his fingers loosening in the fabric covering Castiel's body, his mouth working slowly, sluggishly, mere moments before everything changes. It's almost as if someone lights a fire in Dean, in both of them. Dean's fist tightening again as he twists Castiel around and shoves him across the room, and Castiel lets him, lets Dean do whatever he wants, because he's tired of saying no. His back feels cold as Dean presses him into the marble of the table in the center of the room, Dean's arm sweeping behind him, clearing the table of the offering Zachariah laid out before he climbs on top of him. Following Castiel onto the table as his blood thrums painfully through his body. Stop saying no. Dean pants into his skin, shivers overtaking Castiel's body as Dean's lips and tongue and teeth drag down the sensitive skin of his neck, the sound of buttons tearing away from fabric reaching his ears as Dean rips open his shirt. Discovering even more skin that he can claim as his own, as Castiel thinks there is no possible way that Dean will ever be able to understand this. How much he owns Castiel. Stop being stubborn. Castiel replies, the word stubborn coming out as little more than a moan, as Dean's hand slips past his waistband and finds hard flesh. Castiel is able to feel every molecule of the air pop around him, as Dean's palm drags slowly, agonizingly, down the entire length of him. Pressure everywhere, both inside and outside of him, as Dean bites down hard on his collarbone and presses into Castiel's thigh. Dean laughing into his neck, his lips trembling against Castiel's flesh, as he drags his crotch up and down Castiel's thigh, matching his movements rhythmically with the way his hand works Castiel, bringing them both so quickly to the edge that Castiel stops breathing entirely, the world around him growing white more quickly than he would ever imagined, as warmth washes over his entire body, pleasure so hard it hurts pulsing in his veins, and Dean moaning deep on top of him as he comes breathlessly into Dean's fists. The word yes passing rough and raw through his own lips, as he realizes that he will likely never be able to say no to Dean again. Dean is motherfucking frustrated. Locked inside the goddamn Angel Green Room, unable to leave, unable to reach Sam, unable to do anything other than fucking pace as the world goes to shit around him, for all he knows, for all they're telling him. The words God has left the building echoing through his head like a goddamn nightmare, no blasphemy intended, as he slams his phone shut and prays. For the second real time in as many months, actually prays. And so he's not all that surprised that this time, just like last time, Cass appears behind him out of thin fucking air. Don't even get him started on how fucking odd it is that Cass seems to be the literal answer to his prayers. By the way, God's got a sense of humor, that's for fucking sure. You can't reach him, Dean. Cass says behind him, his voice dragging strangely up Dean's spine for some reason. You're outside your covered zone. And seriously, whoever told Cass that Uriel was the funniest angel in the garrison was a fucking idiot. He doesn't have time to focus on that, though. On the fact that sometimes he finds the things Cass says so goddamn adorable he almost can't breathe. Because the world is ending, remember? And Dean just can't sit around and wait for it to happen. destiny or adorable fucking angel or not. What are you going to do to Sam? He asked, not able to look at Cass. Not yet. His voice shaking more than he'd like it to, fear pounding in his ears like white noise as he feels Cass's eyes linger on him, the hair on the back of his neck standing on end as the angel's goddamn crystal blue eyes bore into him. Nothing, Castile replies as he walks towards Dean. He can actually feel that, by the way. Can feel the air change as Cass moves closer to him. The angel coming so close, in fact, that Dean has to bite down on the insides of his cheeks before he veers right, going across the room, settling in Dean's periphery as he says he's gonna do it to himself. Dean finally manages to look at him, their eyes meeting as he asks, "What's that supposed to mean?" And Cass's eyes drift down to the side at the question, like he's guilty or something, as Dean finally starts to move towards him. Something about the guy acting like a magnet to Dean these days, almost needing as he does to be near him whenever fucking possible. "Oh, right, right," he continues, incapable of hiding the derision in his voice, the derision he knows Cass doesn't really deserve, doing his best or whatever as Dean's pretty sure he's been doing lately. But the derision Dean can't help but dole out right now, none the fucking less. End of the world, yada yada, you get the picture. Tacking on a little, gotta toe the company line, as Cass actually manages to look at him a little. His eyes miserable, dejected, fucking lost, as Dean asks, "Why are you here, Cass?" Because he really fucking wants to know. "We've been through much together, you and I," Cass replies quietly, still fucking miserably. "I just wanted to say sorry it ended like this." Dean's vision goes red at those words, specifically the sorry one and the ended one. Castiel's apology spreading through him like napalm for some reason, the word sorry parroting bitterly through his own voice before he raises his fist and punches Cass in the face. It's a stupid idea. He probably could have figured that out before he even went through with it. But he's sick to shit of Cass lately. Of this Cass, the one who says no, and the one who stares at him with cold eyes, and the one who acts like he doesn't understand him anymore, like he doesn't want to understand Dean anymore, like he doesn't care. And so he punches Cass, his fist pretty much feeling like he just punched a steel block, as he spins around and clutches his practically fucking broken hand, saying, "It's Armageddon, Cass." Before managing to look at him again, "You need a bigger word than sorry. Try to understand this is long foretold." Cass tries to explain, but he's not getting it, obviously. Not understanding that Dean doesn't give a shit about destiny and all that fucking crap. All he cares about is Sam. And Cass. Cass, who is currently continuing with, "This is your..." before Dean interrupts him. "Destiny?" he asks, still fucking bitter as hell. "Don't give me that holy crap. Destiny? God's plan? It's all a bunch of lies, you poor stupid son of a bitch." Cass looks stricken when Dean says that, and he has half a mind to stop. To quit pressing the fucking issue here, but he can't. That's one of the problems Dean's always had, he guesses. Once he starts, he can't stop. "It's just a way for your bosses to keep me and keep you in line," he says, righteous fucking anger making his skin boil. "You know what's real? People. Family. That's real. And you're just gonna watch them burn?" "What's so worth saving?" Cass asks suddenly, moving so close to Dean that he can feel Cass's breath hot on his face. And he's angry, like really fucking angry. And Dean can't help but notice how fucking electric that makes him feel. Like on that night, so many fucking months ago, when he threatened to toss Dean back into hell. And he'd practically come apart at the seams right there in Bobby's kitchen because of it. "I see nothing but pain here," he continues, his eyes boring into Dean's, like he's looking right through him. "Seeing every secret that Dean possesses. I see inside you. I see your guilt, your anger, confusion. In paradise, all is forgiven. You're at peace, even with Sam. He looks away at that, Cass does. And the loss of his eyes make Dean feel weak in the knees, so he bites his lip and tilts his head to the side, catching Cass's eyes with his own, and dragging his head back up with his gaze. Locking onto each other the way they always seem to do, even when they're not trying to. You can take your peace, he says slowly, wanting Cass to pay attention to every word that he's saying here, and shove it up your lily-white ass. 'Cause I'll take the pain and the guilt. I'll take Sam as is. It's better than being some Stepford bitch in paradise. Cass turns away from him at that, turns his back on Dean in a way that makes him both angry and sad and, like, kind of fucking hot and electric all at the same time. It's simple, Cass, he lectures to Cass's back. Try not to pay as much attention as he wants to the small patch of pale skin visible above the collar of Cass's stupid holy tax accountant trench coat. No more crap about being a good soldier. There's a right and there's a wrong here, and you know it. Look at me. Dean grabs him, actually puts his hand on Cass again, spinning him around to face him. His palm burning with the contact, even though at least three layers of fabric separate him from the skin he's sort of been longing to touch for months now. At least since the moment he woke up in his hospital bed, to Cass staring at the ceiling next to him, if not longer. You know it, he shouts, struggling to keep Cass's eyes on his, to keep their gazes connected as Cass tries miserably to pull away in more ways than one. Now you were going to help me once, weren't you? You were going to warn me about all of this before they dragged you back to Bible camp. Help me now, please. What would you have me do? Cass asks, and he's not looking at him. Is still refusing to look at him. And Dean can already tell in that fact that he's lost him. Get me to Sam. We can stop this before it's too late. He tries regardless, unsure of what he's doing here right now. Unsure of what he's doing at all anymore. His mind turning to fucking mush every time he's around Cass. Ever since he said, I would give anything not to have you do this. Said it, and what's more important, fucking meant it. I do that, we'll all be hunted. We'll all be killed. Cass replies, and even though he's looking at Dean again, finally, Dean still has the empty feeling in his chest. The one that genuinely signals that Cass is about good and goddamn ready to pull away from him again. And so Dean replies that, if there's anything worth dying for, this is it. Because it's the truth. A truth that he knows Cass can see, even though he's shaking his head no. Cass always fucking saying no to Dean these days. You spineless, soulless son of a bitch. Dean says as he drags himself away from Cass. And he knows it's harsh, knows he's being a dick here, but he can't help it. Everyone he's ever known has abandoned him, most people more than once, but for some reason he kinda always thought he could count on Cass not to do that. For some reason, ever since the moment he met him, he imagined that Cass would never leave his fucking side, but he's leaving now, even though Dean's the one walking away here, the one saying, "What do you care about dying? You're already dead. We're done." He knows that Cass is really the one leaving. The one abandoning him to the motherfucking wolves. And for some reason it hurts more than Sam's betrayal at this point because, well, because he's grown fucking used to it, Sam, over the years. Stanford and Indiana. And this whole entire fucking year he's grown used to it. Used to Sammy walking out the door on him. But not Cass. Never Cass. Even after that whole Jimmy debacle, when he told Dean that he didn't answer to him. And even after last fucking night, when Dean spent 2 hours screaming Cass's name into the cold night sky, he'd known. Known that Cass would never turn his back on him. But he is here, and it hurts like hell. Like a hole in his goddamn gut, says his name, whispers, Dean. into the gaping hole between them in a way that makes Dean want to cry. If he had any more fucking tears to cry at this point anyways. "We're done," he repeats, and he doesn't mean it. He says it like he does, but he doesn't. Dear Lord and fucking heaven, he doesn't mean it. But Cass can't possibly know that. Cass won't know that. And so he's not entirely surprised to feel the rustle of wings in the air behind him. What he is surprised about, however, is the fact that when he looks up, Cass isn't gone, but rather standing right fucking in front of him. His eyes wide and painful and so goddamn beautiful that Dean can't even think, let alone speak or move. "Don't say that," Cass says roughly, his voice raw and scratchy as sandpaper. His eyes brimming with tears that Dean's really hoping he won't let fall, because he's not sure he can handle that. Not sure he can stand seeing Cass cry, knowing that he's the one to cause it. "I," Dean tries to say, but that's all he can get out. Which is fine and fucking dandy by him, he guesses, because he doesn't even have the slightest clue what he's gonna say anyhow. "I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. I love you." Who the fuck knows? Not like it really matters all that much anyways, because Cass's fingers are twisting over the back of his ears right now, his palms sliding roughly over Dean's cheeks as he grips his face tightly in his hands, making sure that Dean can't go anywhere, like he fucking would, even if he could. "Don't say that," Cass repeats, each word slower than the last, harder than the last, his fingers digging into the sides of Dean's head so deep that it hurts. But it's a pain that he's been waiting months for. Hell, waiting his whole goddamn pathetic life for. So he's okay with it. Okay with the pain, and okay with the way Cass presses their foreheads together, their nose grazing across each other's, as Cass tips his head and presses his lips slowly to Dean's, whispering the words, "Don't say that, please," into Dean yet again, like it's some sort of benediction. And Dean knows in that, in the word please, that he won't. That he'll never tell Cass they're done ever again. Castiel watches Dean pace the room, his shoulders slumped, his soul tired, and he knows what he's going to do. Knows what he has to do. Because if there's one thing he cannot stand, it is seeing Dean in pain. He has faith. Despite everything, despite the many horrors of his life, Castiel has watched Dean grow in faith over the past year, and he does not wish to lose that. Does not wish for Dean to lose that. Which is why he takes a deep breath, appearing behind Dean, before it's too late. Before he takes a bite from the cheeseburger in his hand, before he gives up, and grabbing him roughly by the shoulder. When he slams Dean into the wall, he honestly doesn't mean anything by it. He simply wishes to make sure that Dean stays quiet, that he can get through the spell, through his disobedience, before the others are alerted. That is all this is about, he swears. But something happens when their eyes meet, his palm pressed hard over Dean's mouth, Dean's body pressed hard into the wall as the world fades away around them. It starts slow, a shudder running through Dean's body, vibrating through Castile's hand, as Dean's lips and tongue run over the skin pressed across his mouth, his eyes looking hazy almost immediately. A small muffled sound that reminds Castiel of an animal in pain escaping Dean's mouth, as warmth presses deep in the pit of Castiel's stomach. He allows Dean to suck on his palm for far longer than he should have. The world, after all, needs to be saved, sooner rather than later. But Castiel cannot seem to move here, cannot seem to force himself to stop this. The hand that was going to retrieve the knife from his waistband, lingering on Dean's chest instead. Dean's pulse beating erratically through muscle and bone and skin and fabric, straight into Castiel's hand. straight into Castiel's soul, and it causes him to lose his mind entirely. Causes him to ram his knee hard into Dean's crotch, another muffled moan escaping Dean's mouth as his eyes roll back into his head. Castiel removing his hand finally, dragging it back through Dean's hair and locking it into the back of his head instead. Pulling Dean's mouth roughly into his as he presses their body flush together, all the air in the room, in Castiel's lungs, sucked into the kiss with a whoosh that makes him dizzy. There's fire between them, fire and damnation, and pain and pleasure and death. But Dean tastes like honey, and that is what Castiel is focusing on. That and the way Dean's tongue feels like velvet against his as it plunders his mouth. Dean's hands linking behind his head as well, pulling him in tighter, before one of them slips down to Castiel's ass and yanks. Castiel's sudden, painful erection dragging over Dean's thigh as Dean's own presses hard on top of Castiel's knee. They move against each other, fast and hard and sweaty and breathless, as they map out each other's mouths, like they know this is it. Like they know that they will never be able to do this again, and like they do not want to forget any of it. Dean biting down hard on Castiel's lower lip as he comes too soon, far too soon, pressed still up against Castiel's body. His own orgasm spooling up so quickly that he almost loses his balance entirely. His body crashing forward onto Dean, practically pressing him through the wall as blood fills his mouth and ecstasy fills his soul. Blood that reminds him of what he really came here for, what he came here to do, as he pulls his mouth reluctantly from Dean's and slices a deep cut into his sweaty forearm. Dean barely has any time to register what just happened before they're in Chuck's dining room. Barely has any time to register the fact that Cass just had him pressed against the wall in a way that had sent shivers through his body. Barely has any time to register the way Cass had disobeyed heaven again for him, with a blood spell that shouldn't have made him feel as feverish as it did. And barely has any time to register the fact that Lilith is the final seal, and the fact that Sam is set to kill the bitch before they're in Chuck's dining room. Chuck telling them that Sam is in some convent in fucking Maryland of all places. Telling them that and saying, "You guys aren't supposed to be here. You're not part of the story." Before Cass replies, "Well, we're making it up as we go." And Dean knows this probably sounds lame as shit, but he's pretty sure that Cass is his motherfucking hero right now. His eyes drawn to Cass's face like they always are. Cass still staring almost fucking defiantly at Chuck, like he's trying to tell him that he doesn't care. That he'll stand up against fucking fate itself to save the world, because Dean asked him to. Dean wants to say something. Wants to tell Cass how proud he is of him. Wants to wrap Cass in his arms and do something. But the lights start flickering almost immediately, and the house starts shaking about a half a second after that, and he knows what's going to happen next. Knows the archangel tethered to Chuck, the one they almost got a chance to meet a few weeks ago, is coming for them, is coming to stop them. And he can't help but think, hey, at least we fucking gave it our best shot, right? Because how the fuck are they supposed to get out of this one? And that thought, by the way, the aw shucks, ho-hum, at least we gave it our best, pee-wee fucking hockey trophy for participation one, doesn't help him feel better in the slightest fucking bit, in case anyone's wondering. Cass is talking to him, though. Kinda fucking shouting at him, mostly because of the fact that archangels are loud as shit, and that's the only way you can be heard over one of them. Cass screaming, "It's the archangel, I'll hold him off, I'll hold them all off," in a way that makes Dean's heart constrict so tight he's pretty sure he's never going to be able to breathe properly, if at all, ever again. He doesn't want to go. Well, okay, he kind of does want to go. Wants to stop Sam. still wants to protect Sam, wants to save the world, blah blah. But he doesn't want to leave Cass alone with a fucking archangel and who knows what else coming to take him out like common fucking trash, all for helping Dean. Dean can feel the air pulse around him as Cass goes to place his hand on his forehead, though. And he knows what he's gonna do. Knows in the way Cass says, "Just stop Sam," that he's gonna send him out of here. Gonna blink him the fuck out. And Dean is hit so suddenly with the thought that he's never gonna see Cass again that he grabs Cass's wrist tightly before he even knows what he's doing. Grabs Cass's wrist and presses his mouth to Cass's so quickly that neither one of them knows what hit them. The kiss is quick. Too fucking quick. But the world is ending, and so there's not enough time, he guesses. Nowhere near enough time to do what he really wants to do to Cass right now. What he's kinda always wanted to do to Cass from pretty much the moment he met him, if he wants to be honest with himself. Which he usually doesn't. Cass's lips warm and soft and inviting against his as Dean whispers the words, "I love you," into Cass's mouth and feels the angels, his angels, palm slip across his forehead, and just like that, he's gone.
I'll only say this once. Do you think that you can lose yourself in me? I could say I want to die by your side one day. But I can never speak the words, because I haven't wrote the words that mean enough to me. So together we can burn this way, burn this way. Stay. The loophole for us now. It's called redemption of my history. Do you think you could look past my fears? Tell me now, my love, 'cause I will lose it in your eyes. I see firelight in your eyes. I know that things won't be better when you are by my side. By my side.